Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan. I am joined by Jack and Shane tonight, and this is the last episode of the regular season that we will be coming to you guys this Saturday. FAU hosts Southern Miss on Senior Day, FAU's last game of the year, last home game of the year as well. Certainly a lot riding on this game. And so tonight we're going to talk about that, maybe talk about some of the senior impacts as well, and then kind of talk a little bit about what happened in Conference USA this week with the change in the rule or clarification of the rule for the tiebreaker in the West. But I guess to get started for, just diving into Southern Miss, good football team. They lost last week, although they did have some crazy injuries that happened. They had some crazy injuries, including their starting quarterback. About that in a little bit as well. They lost last week. They are 5-2 in conference, and part of that three-way tie at the top of the West. But junior quarterback Jack Abraham. One of the best, certainly one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. And this game is not really for a game that is, your last game of the year, senior day, everything like that. I'm not super excited to have to play. Southern Miss. But I don't know, Shane. What are your thoughts on Southern Miss?
Well, I mean, we don't know if Jack Abraham's going to play. I saw some report that he could, but let's be honest, coaches always – there's no injury standard in college football. Southern Miss really has no reason to announce. If they do, it's not smart that he's going to play. They're one of the best offenses in college football. They have a lot of receivers who can catch the ball. A couple are banged up right now. They're not great at running, but if you look at a lot of the offensive categories, like third down conversion, they're top three. They're the number one passing offense in the conference. On the defensive side of the ball, they have a really good front seven. They lead the conference in sacks right now. So it's kind of a game, if you look deeper to the stats, I mean, I think the teams are playing, kind of going opposite directions on how they're playing. But if you look at the stats, some of the matchups aren't great for us, and especially if Malcolm Davidson and Larry McCammon is still unable to go, this isn't a game you're crazy about, having Chris drop back and throw it 35 times. So, and Jack Abraham doesn't really turn over the ball either. I mean, he has 11 interceptions, but he puts the ball in the air a lot. His completion percentage is about near 68%. So if he's any bit healthy, even 75%, it's going to be a really tough matchup for the Owls.
And it's something I think that we need to remember as FAU fans. While we are excited to just be in this position to be fighting for Conference USA East Division, Southern Miss is in the exact same situation. Scratch that. They're in a more do or die situation than we are. Because if they lose, it's out of their control, basically, especially with these new CUSA tiebreaker rules that we're going to talk about later. Southern Miss is going to bring it all. If Jack Abraham is not 100%, I still expect him to play. That being said, his backup, Tate Watley, is capable, but Jack Abraham he's one of the top.
Watley really hasn't played all year, and he really didn't play in last week's game. But again, they have receivers. Tim Jones and Quez Watkins are ballers. I mean, they could score points on everybody. And again, my biggest concern is their front seven. They get to the quarterback. I mean, they shut out UAB. I don't think UAB is an impressive offense, but UAB's only points was on defense with the safety. So it's – they've blown a lot of teams out as well. It's not like you're kind of looking at them. I mean, they had a couple close games, but this is a team that came into the year that was one of the favorites in the West. So it isn't shocking that they're here, I think we opened up as 10-point favorites, and it's kind of moved to 9 which shows you maybe if people believe Abraham's going to play, the public, those numbers are kind of shifting a little bit. I'm kind of curious to see where that gets to. But again, you know, this is going to come down again with every FAU game at football's pretty simple. It's going to come down to turnovers and if FAU can force them, because that's kind of our bloodline that's separated us all year. We set out, we're second in the country behind Alabama in turnover margin. Plus 15 is crazy for any team.
And you have to think if Watley does start, that's definitely going to help us. We'll be able to create some havoc in the air. I'm worried too, because I think that they are going to throw Abraham out there. And we've seen that we have struggled against balanced quarterbacks. By balanced, I mean quarterbacks that can just sling it downfield, find weaknesses amongst our defensive backs, and then run when they have to.
Well, if you watch the last few minutes at UTSA game, and
yeah,
I know a lot of our backups were in there, but his name escapes you right now. UTSA's backup quarterback looked good, and he was a guy who just sat back there and made the throws. And again, our defense is designed, if a quarterback can make the throws, they could beat us. I mean, our whole premise of our defense, and I know we do a lot of mixing up front and blitzing, and Glenn Spencer brings a lot of fun blitz packages, but there's a lot of premise of we're daring you to make good throws. And if quarterback can do that, then it's tough for us. We've seen this with FAU this year. Yeah. You know, the first half against Middle Tennessee, they made the throws. You know, even Ty Story made some throws against us, you know, especially when you have a good receiver. You know, we got to win those one-on-one battles. We've been winning all year.
And Shane, I'm happy you mentioned Middle Tennessee, because Asher O'Hare, Middle Tennessee's quarterback, reminds me a lot of Jack Abraham's playing style. Not as mobile as Asher is, but deadly. He has multiple ways to attack you. And the thing about Southern Miss's offense compared to Middle's is that Southern Miss has a plethora of receivers that could do damage. So it's a nerve-wracking game, guys. But, I mean, can you really be upset about it? Can you really be too nervous? This is exactly the position we wanted to be in. If we want to win the East, we have to go out there and improve it. So I'm ready for the challenge.
Well, one advantage I don't think we absolutely talk enough about, I think there's kind of appreciation, and I hinted at it, is almost – I think we just appreciate him so much, but, like, have we just talked about what a great coaching job Lane's done this year? When you kind of factor everything else, you know, when you factor the offensive line kind of moving pieces around at the beginning of the year, the schedule they started off with, the running back, a constant, you know, just – never having anyone healthy the whole year. That backfield's just been banged up, and it's just a merry-go-round of someone different every week. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, Chris Robinson possibly being the MVP of this Conference USA this year, okay? Someone he didn't have all spring and for much of the summer. And, I mean, you see this quarterback just – he's jumped tenfold compared to where he was last year. So it's like – I think just sometimes we forget how good of a coaching staff we have right now.
It's kind of you, and you mentioned it's kind of interesting that you mentioned the MVP or offensive conference player of the year. And Jake asked Lane that in his press conference, and Lane was like, I don't know. I mean, I guess he's had some good games, but, like, you know, FAU could win the conference, and, like, I guess, you know, it feels like we've somewhat flown under the radar, and it could be because we haven't been first in the conference, and obviously first in the conference tends to get most of the publicity for most of the year. But it's just kind of like, you know, I feel like we've kind of flown under the radar. I've seen some people on Twitter, most notably Mark from It's Owl Time, say, you know, this is one of our best seasons ever, and it kind of seems that there's some limited publicity, you know, and back in, again, we always go back to 2017, but, and there's a lot happening there, but there was a whole lot of publicity around Lane, and, you know, in his first year and what he was doing here and stuff like that. And then, you know, this year it seems kind of we're floating under the radar, which is fine because, I mean, all that matters is that we, you know, win the conference. But
And I just think it's just even after last year, there's still an expectation from Lane. You know what I mean? I think there's just kind of, okay, last year was an aberration. And we've talked about last year, when you look into deeper stats, we really weren't that bad of a team. I mean, Lane pointed out, we led in every game last year. We weren't getting blown out. We just lost games with just some close things that didn't go our way. And, you know, Lane quickly got us back on track. I think it's almost just, this is what we expect out of it, out of our team right now.
And it's, you know, you mentioned some of the injuries really to running back. Who knows what's going to happen with Larry McCammon. And I tried to find the play where Malcolm Davidson was injured, but it was just kind of like he was there and then he wasn't there. And then and we didn't really notice
that maybe is him walking over to the sideline saying, retweak that hammy, and they're just like, get out. We don't want it worse. So maybe he comes back or you didn't notice it.
It's nice to have, you know, okay, we could lose Malcolm Davis at the starting running back and then pick up DJ Emmons. I mean, it's a pretty crazy, you know, thinking of how decimated we were at running back and we're still, you know, that way, but it's pretty nice to know that even with, you know, who we have left essentially is still, you know, would start on most teams, you know, in a group of five, for sure.
And if I can, I mean, I think that kind of combines what Shane was talking about earlier about how the coaching staff probably isn't getting enough credit. We've had to really diversify our offensive game plan because of the injuries and because of the defenses we've played against. And it's kind of been a pick-your-poison style mentality. Just about every different game plan has worked. And that's something that we're going to have to use again against Southern Miss. I would like to see the tight ends have another big day. I think because what happened against UTSA, Southern Miss is going to put a lot of eyes and bodies on Harrison Bryant, which could open up some easy passes to the other receivers. It's been a while since we had a big day from John Mitchell. Pico had a good outing against UTSA, but he could be overdue to explode on his senior day. D'Angelo Antoine, Willie Wright. I think this will be a good day to throw the ball, find some mismatches, especially downfield, maybe exposing some of their safeties, getting some mismatches from some outside linebackers on a slot receiver or something, or on Harrison. And that's just another example of how great the coaching staff has been. So I just wanted to add on to that, guys, because it's really impressive to see.
Yeah, it really has. And we've mentioned this a couple times. It just seems like every game it's somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
Certainly in the beginning of the year, it was the wide receivers were more of the surprise. Then Malcolm Davidson for a couple games, then Harrison Bryant started to kind of catch up and, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe this is the game where D'Angelo Antoine, you know, comes back and has a big game, or like you mentioned, Pico or something like that. But we will have to earn our trip to the Conference USA East, we're going to earn our trip to the Conference USA Championship game, which, as a reminder, we win this weekend no matter what happens in the West. No matter what happens in the West, we will be hosting. So take care of business here, and I'm sure that that's been the message with the guys. So, you know, we should talk a little bit about what can happen in the West, essentially. So last week, you guys know, or earlier in the week when we talked about this, there was, you know, like the West was so crazy with the top three that like the eighth tiebreaker, you know, what goes down was basically saying whoever had not been in the conference championship game in recent years would be the winner. And that's how it would decide. And again, we're talking about the eighth, you know, the way, way at the bottom of all the different tiebreakers. So this certainly doesn't happen very often, but certainly when they kind of figured things out, the only one that would benefit from that would be Southern Miss, because the last time Southern Miss had been in the conference championship game was 2015, I think, or something like that. UAB, so the three teams in question are Southern Miss, UAB and Louisiana Tech. Right now, Louisiana Tech, basically, if UAB wins next week, no matter, I think no matter what, if UAB wins, they would be in. You guys, I think that's how it is. Louisiana Tech needs some help, and obviously Southern Miss needs some help. They would have to win. And then I think Southern Miss needs a loss to the other two. I mean, it's really a crazy scenario of what would happen or what needs to happen for each individual team to make it. But basically, what happened, I think today or yesterday, when people kind of saw that that was the tie break, they reached out to the league office, and there was some sort of and the CUSA report. If you follow them on Twitter, they actually did a pretty good job of breaking it down. And I think they reached out to the Conference USA office and found out, kind of off the record or on the record, something like that, where the ADs for the different schools had a meeting off the record, you could say. Well, I mean, there was no report on how to change it or what to do. And essentially, either the rule was clarified. I saw one thing that what would be the deciding factor was actually kind of a BCS calculation. So it's certainly something strange to happen at the end of the year for them to have to change something. So I don't know what will happen there. But again, if FAU takes care of business this weekend, Southern Miss is out, and then it's between UAB and Louisiana Tech. So
we'll know regardless, because FIU plays Marshall at 12 o'clock. So, I mean, pretty much probably right around kickoff for us, we will know whether this is a must win or, you know, for us. But I just think for momentum purposes, and I think when you kind of look back at the season, we have a chance to match an 11-win season.
Right.
Two 11-win seasons in 3 years is absolutely crazy. When you consider, I think I, you know, was talking with Twitter, and the two coaches before, so Charlie Partridge and Pelini, I think they had like a combined record. I think they had, I think it was 17 wins. And that was including Brian Wright. So they, yeah. I think there was like, yeah, there was a combined 17 wins. Three out of four seasons, we won three games, and we had 1 6-win season. 18 wins. So 18 wins. And I think it was 40 upper 40 some odd losses, in four seasons. Now the fact that we're going to have possibly 22 and, or, you know, 27 in three seasons is kind of crazy. It's remarkable what, you know, Lane has done here.
Yeah. What's funny, is Ray Ellis, posted on Twitter. So last week also, we should have congratulated FAU, for our 100th victory in football. Took us, 18 years, 17 years to get to 100 wins. And Ray Ellis, who, for those that aren't familiar, Ray Ellis, he's in his sixth year. He's had multiple knee surgeries. He's just been banged up, and he's really been a trooper. He is finally graduating. And I saw he tweeted out that he had been at FAU for a third of our wins, because he was here obviously with Charlie Partridge, but then he was here for the season.
Yeah, Ray Ellis is the ultimate owl. He's been here just so long. I remember he played as a true freshman when Partridge brought him here. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, kind of think about 100 wins, I think, is a huge milestone. What's real quick, guys, off the top of your head, Dan, you go back farther than Jack and I, what's your most meaningful FAU win?
The top for me has got to be the 2007 Troy game. We were so far underdogs. Troy was dominant that year. So I'll start with that one. That was, to me, that's like, and that was like one of the few games that was on TV back then as well. And just for what that game meant, knowing that winning that game, we won the conference, going to Troy, having to beat Troy there, that was a big game for me.
I'm split between USF in Tampa when Carl Pelini was the coach. I think I was 2013. I mean, that's special because it was against my hometown team, and it was quite the upset. Or probably the Conference USA Championship game in 2017. But I'll say this, a conference championship this year will probably top all of that, considering what this team has been through this year and going back to last year as well. What about you, Shane? What do you think?
I was thinking the Conference USA title game, but just to be a little different, I think God, you really took mine. God, which one I was going to say now? Hold on. Let me think. I had one in mind now that I forgot.
Was it from 2017?
No, I was going to say that other that first North Texas game. I don't know now. God, there's so many just bad seasons.
Why not do something saucy and say the did you say most meaningful victory? Because that UF overtime felt like a victory.
Yeah, I was going to joke and say that, but we've talked about that game a few times where it's like that's the most. My top game is not so much a meaning. I've said it. It's the most fun. I think this was like cemented me as like a hardcore FAU fan was the 57-50 overtime FIU game. We've talked about this game. We talked about it on the Shooter Bowl pod. I think like there's just a million stories about that game. Like if you strike up a conversation with Chris Bartels, just get him talking about that game. On the Shooter Bowl podcast, we interviewed Chris Bonner, and he had stories for days out that game. I mean, it's just it's actually crazy to think about. You know, we kind of go at the stat even the last 2 weeks that FAU doesn't have all these crazy last-minute victories. I mean, even under Lane, again, still only two victories less of double digits with Lane Kiffin, yeah, which is remarkable. At the end of the season, I'm going to put a conference, you know, Lane's every single one of Lane's conference games and get the total plus and minus from all the games and see where we are. And that just – I think we're going to probably be, even considering last year, since we lost games closely – Lane's probably well over plus 200 points against conference opponents, I would have to say. I mean, yeah, you're beating teams by 10 to 20 points every week.
And think of how bigger that spread would be if, you know, we didn't let teams kind of back in. And I think the one game before that is the Marshall game where things just kind of it went crazy. You know, we ran out of the back of the end zone for a safety to play it safe. For that.
Yeah, they scored on a fourth down late. Yeah,
it was in 15.
The tight end. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, the game was over. I mean, they made it really, really interesting. But you know, there's. I think there's a couple games where it's like, all right, well, it would be more than that, but you know, defense kind of slacked off. But. Yeah, so I did kind of want to mention that it's just kind of we can kind of wrap up with this. Being that it is Senior Day, I'll read off the names or some of the names of the seniors that are graduating and kind of tell me who you're going to remember out of this graduating class. So Tim Bonner, Devon Brown, James Brunson, Harrison Bryant, Dante Cousart, Will Davis, Junior Diaz, Ray Ellis, LaDante Harris, Pico Harrison, Damian Horton, Noah Jefferson, Nolan Lynch, Chauncey Mason, Kevin McCrary, DeAndre McNeil, Jared Norse, Joe Pohiva, Rashad Smith, Jonathan Sullivan, Chris Tooley, Malik Vigil, Brandon Walton, and Trent Wessel. So obviously there's the big names that we know out of there. Noah Jefferson.
I want to talk about one in particular, actually two. The one I want to talk about, I think they don't get enough notice. Will Davis, you know, who's been here, you know, recruited at a Fort Pierce Central High School, he doesn't get all the stats and stuff like that, never talked about, but FAU, you see it at other Conference USA schools, struggle with D-line, and he has just been kind of a plug in there, reliable every week, just solid defensive lineman for 4 years for FAU. I mean, it literally gets no talk about on the board. You never see him like interviewed and stuff like that, but the guy's just been like just Mr. Reliable, just shows up to work every week and has just been, since the time he was a freshman, he got playing time under Charlie Partridge, and it's just been solid every day he came to FAU.
And I think that goes to show just how strong this class is this year. I think it's definitely going to finish as one of the best classes in program history. Those names you kept saying off, Dan, are just so many contributors on that list. It's ridiculous. Like if anything, it worries me about how we're going to do next year, especially on the defensive line. As who I'm going to miss the most, you got to say Harrison Bryant. But thank God we have John Rain for another year, so that certainly helps. It depends. Who am I going to miss the most? And who is the most irreplaceable, if that makes sense? Who's the most valuable in that sense? Because Tim Bonner, he's fiery. Dude's got the memes on lock, the Twitter following. I'm going to miss that. Devon Brown plays with a heart of a lion every single Saturday. Junior Diaz, same thing.
Brandon Walton has just probably arguably top five FU offensive linemen of all time.
Of all time. He started since his freshman year.
Yeah. So
the list goes on, and it just makes me so appreciative of the recruiting classes that we had to bring these guys in, and that includes that from Charlie Partridge, and that these guys decided to stick around and trust the process.
Yeah, and you can see the junior college transfers or the grad transfers, you can credit to Lane, and not all, and just kind of how it is with junior college transfers, but those junior college and grad transfers that we've hit on. I mean, Tim Bonner, he played mostly special teams, I feel like, last year, but this year he's having a much, much better year. He was kind of, highly touted coming out of the Mississippi, I can't remember, the community college.
East Mississippi.
Yeah, East Mississippi. But Junior Diaz walked in and he was the starting center for 2 years after transferring from grad transfer from Tulane, I believe it was. And D'Angelo Antoine, kind of a really quickly became a household name. I think everybody will remember him for sure. So, a lot of these guys are Charlie's recruits, and Lane, Lane, again today in his press conference, credited Charlie with bringing in some really good recruits, but also there are some solid players that Lane was able to hit on in the graduates and junior college level. So we'll miss those guys, and make sure that you're there
early. If you are an FAU fan, yeah, get in there early.
Yeah, show your support for this. I mean, these guys definitely. Go, Jack, you were going to –
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be kind of going back to the Conference USA discussion. I just wanted to clarify something real quick about the West Division. Earlier we said, if we were talking about UAB for a second and what they need, they're going to have to beat North Texas in Denton, and they'll need us to beat Southern Miss. If Southern Miss wins, then UAB will also need Louisiana Tech to win, because if Louisiana Tech loses, that makes it a two-way tie between UAB and Southern Miss, and then Southern Miss win that tie break. And that's exactly how all these things work out. They need one team to win and them to win, and then the other team to lose.
Who's signing up to get slaughtered by 3 touchdowns on December 7th is the real question.
Yeah.
All right. So it doesn't matter. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. And right now the new tiebreaker is the computer average. That's the new one. Right now that favors Louisiana Tech. But if Southern Miss wins and it does go to that tiebreaker, it will most likely favor Southern Miss because they'll have just beaten us.
All right. Thanks for clearing that up. So, again, make sure you are out to this game. Don't know what attendance is going to be like. Probably be the traditional. It's a rough time to need a big crowd where students are gone because holiday. I know FAU seems to have given out a ton of tickets. I know if you haven't already, check out Mark from It's Owl Time, because he said he's got a lot of tickets. you know, there's some groups around Boca that seem to have tickets. So go get a ticket. It's most likely going to be a all right. Well, that will do it for our last regular season show of the year. Again, we thank you for being with us this week. Make sure you check out FAUOwlsNest.com for all the game week news and the thread, and at Inside the World on Twitter. So we thank you guys for joining us, and we will see you next week. Go Owls!